Hallelujah. Well, welcome. Today we are going to be talking about healing. And I'm entitling this Back to Basics. Healing is already ours. And I hope today to encourage you in your journey of healing to continue to seek God, to continue to grow in knowledge and understanding of His Word, so that you can continue to grow in healing and in achieving and obtaining manifestation of healing in your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Penny and I were talking about this teaching, and she asked me a question. First, she made a statement that God is never the problem when it comes to healing. It's people that fail. Then she asked this question, why do people fail? So I started answering it, you know, came up with all these things, you know, hindrances and blah, blah, blah. She said, no, there's really only one reason. I said, what is that? She said, it's from
Hosea
4:6. My people perish for lack of knowledge. And like she's just saying right now, it is the root of why people fail in the area of healing. A lack of knowledge. So hopefully today, as we go through this, you can gain some more knowledge, some more insight into healing and how to walk in your divine health. Let's start with the overview. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection secured for us an amazing salvation package. It includes not only spiritual regeneration so that we can go to heaven, but healing for our bodies, and of course, so much more than that as well. Jesus has already done it. We are not trying to get God to heal us. That's already been settled. Jesus already paid for our healing. It is ours already. But we are, by faith, walking out our healing until we see the manifestation. We are walking out our healing. See, healing is already ours. Wherever you are along your path to understanding healing and walking in it, God's highest desire is that you learn to walk in divine health for yourself. When we start out as new Christians, as new to healing, maybe that'd be a better way to say it, whether new Christian or new to healing, God has provided a way. Laying on of hands, anointing with oil, these kind of things that the Word talks about, these are ways for us to get our healing. But that is not God's ultimate desire for us. His desire is that we learn to walk in the promises of God that has already been provided for us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And it is a partnership. Jesus has done his part, and then we have a part that we have to play. So, what is his part? And I'm taking this from what we traditionally have called the story of healing. Three key verses. And I want us to look at these in some detail as we go through this. So let's start with Isaiah chapter 53. Verse 4 says, and talking about Jesus, talking about the Messiah, to be specific, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I want us to go back on at verse 4 there. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. If you look in the Hebrew at those two words, griefs and sorrows, you'll see that the meaning of those is far more expansive than just griefs and sorrows. Griefs and sorrows point to a loss of some sort. But that word could also easily be translated to those words. The first one in particular, malady, disease, sickness, calamity, anxiety. Those are ways that that word grief could be translated. And then the word sorrows could be translated anguish, affliction, pain, and of course, sorrow. And of course, infirmities fit in there too. So Jesus bore these things. The Messiah was to bear these things in his body. Notice that it says that surely he has borne, he has carried, he has had put upon him our griefs and carried our sorrows. Matter of fact, it was so devastating that in chapter 52 of Isaiah, this is what is said about the Messiah. As many as were astonished by thee. It says that his visage, his physical appearance, was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. So this man of sorrows, who was acquainted with grief, he was acquainted with them, I'm quoting now from verse 3, he was acquainted with them not because he personally knew them. He was acquainted with them because he dealt with them as he was ministering to people. He saw their maladies, their sicknesses, their diseases, their infirmities, their anxieties, their anguishes, and he was acquainted with them. A man who was aware of grief and sorrow. But he bore them for us so that we don't have to. When we take communion, we often say that his body was broken for us. How was his body broken for us? This is how it was broken for us, that he bore these things in his body, in the passion that he suffered as he was beaten with fists, beaten with rods. His beard was plucked out, the crown of thorns on his head, the whip on his back that caused him to be so marred, so utterly without form. We can hardly recognize that he was a man, but he bore all of that for us, for our sicknesses and infirmities and diseases and pains and anxieties and maladies and all these things, all these afflictions. He bore all that for us. And we see that specifically expressed in Matthew chapter 8. This was after Jesus had healed Peter's mother-in-law. And it says that when evening had come, they brought to him many who were possessed of devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So there you can see that they even, as they translated those words from the Hebrew into the Greek, that the words griefs and sorrows, that they use the more expanded view, which was infirmities, sicknesses, and so on. So Jesus was doing that. He went about, as it says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, he was anointed by God, and he went about doing good and healing all that were afflicted of the devil. So that was his ministry. He healed to show that he was fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah. Then in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, a verse that we're very familiar with, at least part B, that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. But part 1 has something to say to us about that as well. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Notice it's past tense. By his stripes, by the beatings that he took when he went to the cross, by those beatings, we have been healed, made whole. That's what Jesus has done for us. In healing school, if you're going through that on our website, abchealingschool.org, when you come to the end of what we've called semester one, there is a test, a final, for that particular group of teachings, about 33 or 34, something like that. And there is a question on that. And it said, answer these statements with either true or false. And the first one says, I was healed when I saw the manifestation of my healing. Is that true or false? The answer is true. The second one, I was healed when I believed and received, from Mark 11:24. And the answer to that is true. Then the third one is, I was healed when Jesus bore my sicknesses on the cross. True or false? True. And the fourth one, which is not on the quiz. Maybe I should add it to the quiz, but it's not on the quiz at this point. I was healed when Jesus was slain before the foundations of the world. True or false? True. All of them are true. But notice the progression. Normally, when we're new Christians, we start out by we're believing God for our healing. And so when we see the manifestation, we say, ha-ha! I have been healed. That's true. But as we grow in the understanding of God's word and what Jesus has done for us, then we realize, you know what? It was when I prayed. It says, I believed when I prayed and I received my healing. Yep, that's true too. But then as we grow and we understand more about what Jesus has done when he died on that cross, when he purchased our healing for us through what he went through the passion and through the death on the cross, that's when healing took place. Yep, that's right, that's true. And then because he was slain before the foundations of the world, that too is when we were healed. And the more we understand that, the more we can walk in the fact that all the promises of God belong to us. It is our inheritance as the children of God. Jesus, we are co-heirs with Jesus. And everything that belonged to Jesus belongs to us. I'm quoting there to some extent from Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. We are heirs of God and joint heirs through Jesus. So all those promises, everything that Jesus did for us for healing is ours. It's already been done. We are not trying to get God to heal us. We're not on our knees begging and lifting our hands. God, I've been so good. God, I've been so good. Look at all these wonderful things I've done. I deserve to be healed. No, that is not what our healing is based on. It is based on what Jesus has done for us. See, all Scripture has been inspired by God. Even these ones that we just read, they've all been inspired by God. And that is important because, I don't know, the more I understand about God and about who He is and what He has done for us, the more I realize that His Word is His God-breathed expression of Himself. So when God gave to Isaiah chapter 53, what we know as chapter 53, verses 4 and 5, it was God speaking to and through Isaiah. He was breathing that out, that the Messiah would bear in His body our sicknesses, our pains, our diseases, our infirmities, our maladies, all these things, that He would bear them. And then when Jesus came, as He expressed Himself, remember, He only did the things that He saw His Father do and only said the things He heard His Father say. So it was God expressing Himself through Jesus as He healed and brought healing. And you can read all those passages in the Gospels about Jesus healed them all. Jesus healed them all. Jesus healed this person and healed that person. And when there was crowds, it says He healed them all. So God's Word is Him expressing who He is. That's why in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, in talking about the promises and the oath and the promise that God made to Abraham, He says, by these two things, God's promise, Abraham, you're going to have a son, and God's oath, which is the covenant that He cut with Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, by His promise, by God's promise, and by God's oath, by these two immutable, unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. Impossible for God to lie. So when God says, you have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, He is saying, it is done. You have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I've shared this before in my own testimony as I went through some heart challenges several years ago. Matter of fact, this year, 19 years, that happened, and here I am. I'm only 12 years older, but it's been 19 years now. So anyway. Okay, so it's impossible for God to lie. So this was an important part of my growth as I was learning God's Word and I was reaching out to the Lord for healing as I was going through that challenge, which was a very severe challenge with my heart. And I came across this scripture as I was reading the Word, and when it said that it was impossible for God to lie, that just clicked in me, and I thought, that's it. It's done. Now, it was 6-7 months later before I saw the manifestation, but I knew at that point it was over. It's impossible for God to lie, and I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. So that's what Jesus has done for us. He purchased healing for us. And when we grab that, when we grasp that, see, it's part of our growing in knowledge. The more we study His Word, the more we study the healing scriptures, the more that we begin to understand, it is mine because Jesus paid for it for me. So what is our part? What do we do? Well, the main thing, kind of what we've already been talking about, is that we believe the things that we say. We believe what God's Word has said. We believe that His Word is true. We believe that it's impossible for God to lie. Now, remember, I talked about this a few months ago, that faith is the noun and believe is the verb. So it's one thing to have faith, in other words, to know that it's true. But because we know it's true, then we believe by stepping out and doing something. So that we believe the things that we say without doubt in our heart, from Mark 11:23. We believe that we have received when we pray, from Mark 11:24. We believe it. That's our part, is the faith. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted him for righteousness. Matter of fact, he believed God to an amazing extent, as we see in Romans chapter 4. So God had given promise to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. And this is what it says, starting in verse 18. Who, against hope, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. That's what God told him. So shall thy seed be. And what he was referring to there was, he showed him all the stars in heaven, and he said, so shall your seed be. The sand on the, I don't know if it was the seashore or just the sand in the desert, whatever, he showed in the sand, and he said, so shall your seed be. Multiplied as this. Verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, who was 90. Verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That is an important aspect to this. Believing God and praising him, giving him glory, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Amen. Abraham believed God. And Jesus used that same thing in Matthew 8:13, and he said it many times to different ones. As thou hast believed, so it shall be done unto you. And of course we see in Mark 9:23, this was as Jesus was dealing with the father whose son was possessed. And he said, all things are possible to them that believe. We need to continue to grow in our knowledge and understanding of God and of his word, particularly as it pertains to healing. Whatever it is that you need in terms of your life, God's word has the answers for that. And that, of course, also applies to healing. See, when we believe, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 10, this was after Isaiah had seen the Lord high and lifted up. And now he's instructing Isaiah on how to conduct his ministry. But he says something really interesting. He's saying that in the negative, but if we turn it around to the positive, we can see something here. He's saying that I want you to go and I want you to speak on my behalf. And he's saying that their eyes will be blinded, their ears will be dull, their heart will be hardened. And then he goes on, he says, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and believe with their heart, and they be converted, changed because of what they've seen, changed because of what they've heard, changed because of what they now believe, converted and be healed. And so the more that we dig into God's word, our eyes are opened. Our ears are opened. Our heart is softened and believing and receiving the word of God. And it says, then we shall be changed. We'll move from glory to glory to glory, be converted, change our mind about things, and healing occurs. So how do we walk out our healing? The key is to release the anointing. In us, as we have received Jesus as our Savior, within us is all the power of God. As we then walk by faith in what Jesus has done and step out in faith, it releases the anointing. See, what we lack is not God do something. What we lack is faith in stepping out and believing God so that the anointing, the power of God, then is released into our lives. Mark 16:20 says that the disciples went about preaching the word, and the Spirit was with them, confirming the word as they did their ministry. John 7:37 through 39 talks about the rivers of living water that flow out of us. And he was speaking of the Spirit, which had not yet been given, but of course now it has been given. So rivers of living water flowing out of us to release the anointing to see the manifestation of healing in our lives. Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, so that we are convinced. It's evidence. Because of what Jesus has done for us, that is our evidence. God's word is our evidence. It's impossible for God to lie. So it's our evidence that we have been healed. And so we expect to see the manifestation. We'll talk a little bit more about how that works here in a moment. Hebrews 11:6, if we were to go on into Hebrews, it says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those that know who he is, that they will be he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith without works is dead, we're told in James chapter 2, verses 17. Through 26. Faith without works. In other words, we can say, I've got faith, but faith is only evidenced by what we do with it, by our believing. So believing adds works to faith. So what does believing look like? It is seen in our thoughts, it is seen in our attitudes, and ultimately in our words and our actions. Thoughts, bringing every thought captive. This part just really comes down to some really nitty-gritty things about healing. And what it comes down to is, what do you really believe? Are you convinced healing is yours? When you're dealing with the symptoms, what is it you're thinking about? See, the evil one is really good about putting thoughts into our mind. Oh, but you know, look at this. You see that? You know, that could be cancer. Oh, that could be this. And then this is going to happen. And then that's going to happen. And boy, you better start planning your funeral. The evil one will take us down these kind of roads. One of the most important things that we can do when it comes to healing is to cast down those imaginations and bring every thought captive to Christ from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. You need to control your thoughts. When it comes to standing for your healing, don't let the evil one take you in ways that aren't right, in ways that take you away from healing. One thing that comes to thoughts is you cannot accept what is going on in your body as the ultimate truth. What is true is that you have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. What is not true is the symptoms and the challenges that you are going through. Now, it may be founded in medical fact, but in reality, spiritually, it is not true. It is not yours. And so you have to stand against those kind of thoughts. Yeah, medical reality says, and the doctor says, tests all show that this is going on. But we say, no, the reality is I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. That's what I'm standing on. And by our faith, grabbing hold of the fact that we have been healed, then it takes us into that spiritual dimension, releases the anointing of God, and brings the manifestation of healing in our lives. Apostle Joshua has a couple of things that he has said that I want to talk about now. One of them is, he says, I don't listen to what the doctor says. I listen to what the patient says. If the patient is agreeing with the doctor, we've got a problem. If the patient is believing that God is their healer, and they are standing on the word of God for their healing, no matter what the doctor says, no matter what their body is saying, then you know that they will be heading towards the manifestation of healing. The second thing he says is that you are responsible for your own healing. Penny told me that when she first came here and had some challenges going on, Apostle Joshua was working with her, and he told her, I'll guide you through this. I'll help you. But ultimately, healing is your responsibility. That is truly important, because what that does, it shows what our thoughts are. What are we thinking? One of the most important things we can do is to control our thoughts. And sometimes when it comes to a long-term challenge that we may be going through, that can really be tough, because your lifestyle, especially if it is impinged upon by the challenge that you're going through, you begin to think about and make accommodations, and you have to get through what you're going through. And it's hard sometimes to separate the fact that what you're going through and what Jesus has said. It's hard to reconcile those sometimes. But that's where part of the fight of faith is, that no matter what is going on in our bodies, no matter what the doctors are saying, we believe what God has said, that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, and we control our thoughts. Let me give you a testimony as it applies to faith and our thoughts. A friend of mine, Tim Greenwood, many years ago, was diagnosed with a severe heart challenge, and basically the only possible solution that he was given was a heart transplant. Well, he was believing God for his healing, and he's studying the Word and listening to tapes and listening to teachings about healing. And as he was growing in his faith, he finally realized, you know what? I can't just sit around and think about faith. I can't just sit around and listen to teachings on faith. He says, I've got to do something. And so one of the challenges, the symptoms that he was going through was severe angina. He could hardly walk more than 20 feet without these symptoms coming up, just devastating symptoms of pain in his chest and his back and his arm, his left arm. And so he and his wife, they went out on the sidewalk, finally got down there, and then he said, okay, I'm believing God. So he would walk, and sure enough, about 20 feet, all of a sudden the symptoms would start, and it would come, and they said, no, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Symptoms go in Jesus' name. They'd fight, and they'd fight, and they'd fight, and it finally subside. Wouldn't even manifest fully like it normally would. It would they finally subside. They did that again, another 20 feet, same thing happened. Another 20 feet, same thing happened. Another 20 feet, same thing happened. They did that 4 days in a row, 20 feet, 20 feet, 20 feet. Every time, the same thing. He says, Father, I know, you know, he's getting frustrated. He said, Father, I know that you have healed me. And I can see that when I speak the word, that there's good effect happening. But I'm not seeing the full manifestation. What's going on? And the Lord showed him that in his speaking the word, he also needs to praise God for what he has done. He said, okay, I'm going to do that. So he went out. They went out the next day, and the same thing. Walked 20 feet, the symptoms started. They spoke to him, commanded him to go, and then they praised God. And the symptoms went. Started walking again. Got to 20 feet. Nothing happened. Kept going, kept going, kept going. Gone, went to 40 feet. The symptoms started coming on again. They did the same thing. They spoke the word, and then they praised God for the healing. And the symptoms left. Kept going. 20 feet. 60 feet. 80 feet. The symptoms started again. They did the same thing. Kept going like that until he spent 20 years walking by faith and having no more symptoms of heart challenges. It was his faith and his thoughts. See, he was controlling his thoughts. He did not give in to thoughts. Secondly, attitudes. Attitudes. I will win no matter what. Healing is mine. When we have that kind of attitude, then we will win. This one minister that I know of, he's been walking in divine health, hasn't been to doctor in 56 years now. 56, since 1968. Yes, I believe it's 56 years he hasn't been to a doctor. And one, this just happened, I don't know, a year or so ago. One of his associates, and he went on a trip, a speaking trip overseas to Europe. They were gone about 3 weeks. And so they stayed in the same hotel room. They traveled together the whole time. They were always together. And they got back, and the associate came to him, and he said, you know what? I know why you don't get sick. And he said, really? Why is that? He says, because you hate sickness more than I do. And that is his attitude. He will not put up with sickness in his body. If he's walking up the stairs at his house and he gets a pain in his knee, he says, oh, no, you don't. And he goes up and down and up and down and up and down those stairs until the pain is gone. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And that is his attitude. So we press against the evil one, and that attitude will take us to winning. Words. The ultimate show of faith is the words and the actions we take. We can have thoughts that are under control. We can have attitudes that are good. But it's got to be carried out in our words, because that's the faith that is going to take us over the top. Proverbs 18, verse 21 says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. We need to speak the word of God. Speak the truth of our healing. Speak by authority. Speak to our body. Speak to the symptoms. And when we do that, we will see the effect, even as Tim and his wife Marcia did that as they were out walking. They would speak the word. And then thirdly, actions, acting on the word, on the because it's faith that works. We'll talk more about that in a few minutes. Believing the word in your heart leads to complete salvation. Luke 8:12. That's really kind of a reiteration from that scripture in Isaiah. And it's talking here about the parable of the sower. And it says, when the word is sowed into your heart and you believe it, then you'll have the effects of it, have complete salvation. Don't let the evil one then come and take it out of your heart. And we'll go on to the next part C now. As we enter this next part about eliminating hindrances, I want to use the analogy of electricity. I think it's a really good analogy for healing and the spiritual laws of healing. If you're at your house and it's starting to get dark and you want to turn on your light, you go over to the phone, you dial the power company, you get them on the phone, you says, "Hey, power company, I'm about ready to turn on my lights. Would you please make sure that the electricity is there for me?" I mean, if every time we had to do that, you know, I'm getting ready to cook dinner, better call the power company, make sure the oven is going to be okay. No, because the power company provides that to us, provides the power to us. And what makes it work is when we go over and we flip the switch, when we go over and we turn on the appliance, when we push the button on our dishwasher. That is what activates the electricity. Electricity is always there. And I think that's a good analogy to the power of God available to us for healing in our lives. It is there. It's not trying to convince God to, you know, turn on the power. No, the power of God is available to us. And it is just flipping the switch, which is our faith. Now, the other day, I was out doing some gardening, and I had a hedge trimmer, which has a cord on it. And I was trimming the hedge, doing my thing, and then I realized I had missed a place, and I went back to catch that place that I'd missed, not realizing that the cord was there. And all of a sudden, sparks, I severed the cord with my hedge trimmer. So I thought, well, that's not very nice. And so then I took my hedge trimmer and I tried turning it on. It won't turn on. What happened to my hedge trimmer? That thing doesn't work anymore. Well, you know, I could get all mad at the hedge trimmer. I could throw it on the ground. I could stomp on it. I could yell at it. I could scream at it. But it's still not going to work. Why? Because the power source was, in this case, shorted out by my recklessness in cutting the cord. So what did I do? I got out my black electrical tape. I got out my tools to be able to strip wires. I cut the cord. I got the wires. I stripped them. I put them all back together, wrapped it all with electrical tape. And then I plugged my hedge trimmer back in and zoop, it worked. How about that? So there are several things that can cause electricity not to flow. One of them is, we just talked about, a short. Another one is disconnected wires. Have you ever had a challenge with something that's not working? It's been working, all of a sudden it's not working, and it's like, what's going on? Well, sometimes the connections get a little corroded, and just moving them around, scraping them around a little bit, they'll start working. So there are things that can corrode the power of God in our lives. Sometimes, like I said, it's a short. Wires get crossed. Sometimes it's the circuit breaker has been turned off. So we need to look at some things that might cause shorts and disconnects and breakers not being turned on in our life. So in order for the power of healing to flow, we need to look at some hindrances that could be affecting us. Fear is one hindrance. Fear subverts our believing. In Mark 5:36, the Pharisee, Jairus, had come to Jesus and wanted him to come and heal his daughter. His people came and said, "Don't bother the master anymore, because your daughter has died." And Jesus heard it. He looked at Jairus, and he said, "Do not fear, only believe." Fear could have cut off Jairus' miracle, could have cut off the power of God. If he had heard what Jesus said, he said, "No, it's too late, Jesus. That's all right. It's too late." And he just turned around and walked away. Would his daughter have risen from the dead? No. The power of God would have been cut off. In John 14, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." This is after Jesus had told them that he was going to be leaving them. And in verse 12, he says, "If you believe me, then the works that I do, you will do, and greater works than these." In other words, by letting your heart be troubled, you are cutting off the power of God. But if you continue to believe, then it activates the power of God, and you can do even more than what Jesus had done. Guilt and condemnation can cause us to lose confidence or lose our faith. Because we know that we've sinned, we know we've done something wrong, and we're condemning ourselves, and we're getting down on ourselves. We need to accept our forgiveness. That's one of the first lessons that I learned as a young Christian was, when I go to God and I confess my sins, and He forgives me. That's what the Word says. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. And one of the important things to do in our lives is to believe God. When it says that He forgives us for that sin that we've confessed, accept it. Accept His forgiveness. Because walking in guilt and condemnation, it says there in 1 John chapter 3 that if we don't have confidence towards God, then we won't see, we don't have confidence to be able to express our desires to Him. In other words, to pray and to believe and receive, because we're doubting, we're in guilt and condemnation. Also, unbelief. Unbelief can cut off our faith and cut off the flow of the power of God in our lives. Mark 17:20, Jesus says, "If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, and you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into another place, it will obey you." And so our unbelief can thwart the power of God for healing. Unforgiveness. We are to forgive others so that God will forgive us. Unforgiveness will stop the flow of the power of God. And going along with unforgiveness is the importance of love. And I know Penny has really, the Lord's really ministered to her about the importance of this. And in her telling me about it, I've learned some things that I hadn't seen before in some of my favorite verses, and probably some of your favorite verses too. In Ephesians chapter 3, starting verse 16, he's praying that God would grant, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by a spirit in the inner man, that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. And I want to talk about those two words, being rooted and grounded in love. Last year, Penny and I had planted some tomatoes, and we had put them in a container that the year before we had grown something different. So we put them in that container, you know, we did all the stuff you normally would do, put fertilizer and all that kind of stuff. Well, it grew up to a certain height, and then it just kind of stopped, and yeah, produced a couple of tomatoes, but not too much, and it kind of looked kind of sickly, and it's kind of like, what's going on there? Well, after the season was over and stuff, I pulled it out, and I began to dig around in the dirt, and I discovered that, apparently from the previous plant that we had in there, that mold had developed in the bottom of that container. And what had happened was the roots went down so far, and then it ran into that mold, and it stopped their growth. Well, this year, you know, we cleaned all that out, took all that dirt out, cleaned it out real good, put, you know, all brand new dirt and everything, planted some more tomato seeds. And this year, the season's hardly beginning, and the thing's already huge. And it's like, wow, what a difference, because it was rooted in something that would allow it to grow. When we are rooted in love, rooted in the love of God, then his love begins to then permeate our lives, and we flourish because of that. But it says not only just rooted, but it also says grounded. Now, another way of translating that word grounded is foundation. And I thought that was really interesting, because the same word that's used in Luke chapter 6, when Jesus was talking about the man who, the wise man who built his house upon the rock. It says, and he laid the foundation on the rock. So if you correlate those two, the foundation that we need to lay as we are on the rock of the Word of God is that foundation of love, being rooted and grounded in love. And then it goes on in the next verse, it says, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. To be filled with God, to be filled with love, one of the aspects of that is going to be the further ability to forgive others, because we know God's love for us. You know, that old saying, you know, when you're pointing your finger at somebody, there's three more pointing back at you. And I guess you could turn it around. You could point three fingers at the other person, but you still got one pointing back at you. Never mind. Anyway, we need to forgive, and love is a basis for that. We also need to be clothed with humility. The spiritual opposite of pride is love. And we know that God resists the proud. So when we put on humility and realize that we need God, we need his love, we need his forgiveness, and humble ourselves so that we can minister to others, then it also allows the power of God to be able to flow into our lives. So let's go to letter D now and talk about some actions of faith to increase the anointing. Strategic actions. These are ones that set up our life to have the power of God flowing in our life. It has to do with what we do between the amen of Mark chapter 11, verse 24, between the amen, in other words, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, so you, there's the amen, and the there it is, you shall have whatever you say. So we need to stand, we need to withstand, and to then stand and keep standing. That's from Ephesians chapter 6. I'm just going to go ahead and read some of those verses there. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand, that you see there, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power and might, against the rulers of darkness, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. And how do we stand? By putting on the armor of God, like it says there. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. And just going through the armor of God real quick, starting in verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Notice there, all three of them say having. Having your loins, having the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with preparation of the gospel. So these are things about who we are in Christ, about the power of God that lives within us, in our loins, that was girt about with truth, about having on the breastplate of righteousness. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and sin does not have effect on us, and we cannot listen. We do not need to listen to the threats of the evil one. So having on the breastplate of righteousness and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. In other words, we are continuing to learn about the gospel, about the word of God and what it means for us. And our lives are built around the word of God. So having these things in our lives, verse 16. And then above all, taking the shield of faith by which you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Again, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So because of who we are, then we also then know what we have in Christ, which is our shield of faith, our helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. We are to walk by faith, not by sight. In other words, don't let the things that you see, the things that you feel in your body, don't let them dictate what is true, because what is true is what God has said, that we walk by faith. We walk by faith and believe what God has said, not by sight, not by what our bodies say to us. Like Smith Wigglesworth used to say, I don't ask my body how it feels. I tell my body how to feel. We keep affirming God's word with our mouth, and we keep studying God's word to renew our mind. So use the healing scriptures that we've given you in the past. There's plenty of healing scriptures. There's plenty of examples of healing in the word. Keep studying the word and let God grow you more and more in understanding what Jesus has done for us. Some tactical actions you might want to take. These are possible matrix items to consider. It's also could be called our faith action plan. That's what FAP means, faith action plan. So when you think about these things for your matrix, remember, you know, if you're going through life, things are going good, you've got some things on your matrix that you're working with, and then a challenge comes up. Well, it's okay for on a temporary basis to add some things to your matrix. It's okay to remove some things as God leads you. Again, it's as God leads you. So these are some possible things you may want to include in your matrix as you are dealing with a particular challenge in your life. Of course, confessing your sins when needed, Some people say, well, when do I need to confess my sins? Well, how about every time you sin? So confess your sins when needed, and then use the unaware sins prayer frequently in your life. Affirmations, general and specific, affirming the Word of God. Communion, the body for healing, the blood for our covenant. Reading the Word. Praise and worship, worshiping God in your body, dancing, raising hands, kneeling. These things, see, we're dealing with challenges with our bodies. Well, let's use our bodies to praise and to worship God. So it might be dancing or raising hands or kneeling before the Lord. Pray in tongues, fast. Regular weekly fasting is important. Jesus says, when you fast, not if you fast, when you fast. Breaking curses and cutting off the demonic attachments, and resisting the devil by acting on your healing in your body. So, like Tim Greenwood did, he acted on the Word of God. He pushed against the devil. So in conclusion, these are things that helped me as I was going through my challenge. I avoided sin aggressively so that I wasn't cutting off the anointing of God in my life. Speak the Word continually. Always be speaking that you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. When the evil one brings a thought, you're going to die, say, no, in the name of Jesus, I shall live. And then walk by faith aggressively. Don't back off. I know there were times that I would think, oh, I just wish I could just curl up in the corner and it would just all go away. Well, I knew by doing such a thing that I was giving in. And so I would continue to walk by faith. Walk by faith aggressively. Avoid sin aggressively. Speak the Word continually. Walk by faith aggressively. Amen. I pray this has been a blessing to you. In Jesus' name.
Oh, praise God. What a wonderful message, Pastor Matthew. Yes. Act healed. You have been healed. You received it already in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. Wonderful. Okay. One of the things they also talked about was doing communion, right? Let's do our Holy Communion to start with, please. Let's everybody do a USP. Repeat after me, please. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm not aware of any sins. In the name of Jesus, thank you for cleansing me of all unrighteousness. According to 1 John 1:9. Okay, repeat after me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, as we come to receive this Holy Communion, we remember that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Okay, I'll pray now. Thank you, Jesus, what you did on the cross of Calvary, because of your great love for each one of us. The price you paid for our salvation is the most precious thing in the universe. Your body was broken in exchange for making us whole and complete again. And we take of your body as we do this in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name. In addition, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself. Let him eat the bread and drink the cup. So repeat after me, please. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for your blood that was shed for us. We also thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit, who dwells inside each believer, quickens our mortal body and restores it to the life of God, healed, healthy, and whole, restored, rejuvenated, and perfected. Amen. We take this now in remembrance of you, Jesus. Okay. I go on. Pastor Matthew's teach. Let's do 20 affirmations. We've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Everybody ready? We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. One more. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. These affirmations also include our family and our loved ones as well.